Well, I want to say, first of all, it is such an honor to be presenting this workshop, you know, to be counted among all these wonderful men and women of God. And I'm like, oh, Lord, are you sure? And he said, well, this is a perfect opportunity for you to practice peace. So here we go. So I started this journey into peace and poise by looking up the words poise and peace. And the word poise actually means graceful or elegant, bearing in a person, be or cause to be balanced or suspended, a stably balanced state. And then the definition that I found for peace was freedom from disturbance, tranquility, a state of tranquility or quiet, freedom from oppressive thoughts or emotions. So there's this beautiful relationship between these two words, because if you walk in peace, you're automatically going to have poise, because it's going to put you in that a balanced state. Amen. And today, I'm going to be throwing out several scriptures because there's a balance between the Word and the Spirit. And that's what brings about peace in our lives, because we can't have one without the other. Then we're out of balance, right? So the world is so often, you know, it throws stress at us, it throws chaos, it throws, you know, even the days leading up to this conference, you know, the enemy just started throwing stuff at me with my children, and I'm like, oh, Lord, what is going on? And he's like, peace. You know, you have this perfect opportunity to walk in peace during all of this, because my daughter had some health issues going on, and then my oldest daughter, who is married and moved out of the house, well, that's a whole different ball game. And so I'm in lots of stages of parenting. I have adult children. My youngest is 5. So yeah, we have lots going on in our life. So peace is something that's very, very precious to us. But poise is a stance. It's a verb. It's balance. It's walking in peace. And the world, you know, comes along and tries to knock us out of that. The enemy, you know, Scripture says he waits for a more opportune moment to come and try to steal our peace and to capitalize on opportunities that we didn't even know were lurking in the background. So I started looking at scriptures that told me how to stand and how to walk with poise, and I kind of argued with the Lord a little bit, and I said, Lord, I really don't have poise. And he was like, really? And I said, yeah, I don't, you know, I'm really clumsy, number one, like really clumsy. And unfortunately, all my children got that from me. And I said, you know, poise is not something that I would describe that I have. And he said, maybe not of yourself, but with me, you have poise. You walk in the grace and that balance, but that balanced place. So he was teaching me that in that place with him is where I find the peace and the poise. And he took me back, and I never ever forget where I came from, because, and there's a difference between forgetting where you came from and letting the enemy beat you over the head with it. But I never forget where I came from, because before I got saved, I was a drug addict. I was, and it was a part-time income. And I was a single mom, and I was living on my own, and I thought that I didn't see anything really wrong with my life, and God really set me in a place where he surrounded me in my workplace with all these Christian people, and they were all Spirit-filled, and they, you know, I had had encounters when I was a child and as a teenager with the Lord, and, you know, they were still in there. Those encounters, they stay with you. And as a child, I can remember the pool of the Holy Spirit. You know, I grew up in a Nazarene church, and I can remember the pool of the Holy Spirit leading me to that altar to surrender my life to him. And those things never lead you. And then as a teenager, I was in a spirit-filled church, unbeknownst to me, and the pastor's up there, and he is just reading my mail, and I'm in my seat, and I'm shaking, and I'm bawling. And my friend's like, "Do you want to go up for prayer?" I'm like, "No. No, what is he going to say once I get up there? No, I don't want to go up for prayer." But I always remembered those encounters, and when those, you know, God set me up in the workplace, and these ladies, they would like get me in the break room, and they would be like, "You know, this is the truth about you. You don't know your worth and your value." And they would just, they weren't speaking to me as to who I was, but they were speaking to who God created me to be inside, you know, and I wasn't ready to surrender to that. But I finally did, and I say all that to get to this point. I had put all of my trust, because I wasn't moving forward in my life. I was stuck in this maintenance mode and this, I'm surviving. I'm not moving forward in life. I am surviving life. And when I surrendered my life to the Lord, it was one night, it was way late at night, and I didn't even have a bed. I slept on the couch with my daughter, and I was watching Benny Hinn on TV, because who else is on at 3 o'clock in the morning but Benny Hinn on the Christian television. And I said the sinner's prayer, and the one thing, I don't even remember what he led the prayer in, but the one thing that I do remember was, "God, use me, use my life." And that was my prayer. And God instantly delivered me of all the drugs. I never had any withdrawals. I never had any desire to go back. It was just an instantaneous thing. And I'm the type of person, when I jump in both feet, we're doing this, we're going, there's no looking back, we're moving forward, we're going to do this. And that's how it was with my walk with the Lord. It was, okay, you know, I'm here both feet. And I had taken all the trust that I had put in the drugs and the thing, because that was what was getting me by every day. That's what was getting me through surviving life. You know, I didn't feel like I could do it, on, you know, without it. So that's where I put my trust. And all that trust supernaturally transferred from those drugs to Jesus. Hallelujah. And he said, "I'm the one you're going to depend on now. I'm the one who's going to get you through this. I'm the one who's going to lead you." And I said, "Okay, God." and it's funny, because Dean actually, I had met Dean before I gave my life to the Lord. So he knew, he actually tried to talk to me, and I wouldn't talk to him. I was like, "Oh, dude, you and I are on way different levels here. We are not." Like, it was a funny thing. And he loves to tell the story of me not talking to him. But the scripture that this is all based on is Psalm 119, and it's verse 165. And I'm just going to turn there really quick. And it says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Great peace for those who love the law, who love the word. 2 Corinthians says we walk by faith, not by sight. And Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So all those verses tie in together as, you know, it's following the word. It's following his promises. It's standing in that place of, this is what the word of God says. I am not going to look at any other circumstance. I'm not going to look at any other thing. This is what the word of God says. And that's where my faith is built. That's where all of that stuff that happens in our life gets about this big instead of this big. Because when we can stand on the word and say, this is what my God says about this situation, and his word is the authority above everything, that's when our big situations, we see them in their actual size. Amen. Faith also produces peace. God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he's going to do. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. And let's go ahead and turn there really quick, Hebrews 12:2. I'm actually going to start in verse 1. And it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the word weight there in verse 1 is whatever is prominent, bulk, mass, a burden, a weight, an encumbrance. And all those words are the opposite of peace. So this verse could very easily say, let us lay aside all the stress, chaos, fear, doubt, all those things that the enemy tries to throw at us, and run the race. You can't run if you're out of balance. You will fall. Verse 2 says we have to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then Jesus took a position. He sat down at the right hand of God. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. Yes. We are seated with him. We have that position that we can, that we have victory in him. Hopping back to Hebrews verse 1 there, it says, run with endurance, which is patience. The characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith by even the greatest trials and suffering. I'm just going to read that one more time. Run with endurance, patience. The characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose to faith by even the greatest trials and sufferings. That's poise. That's poise. Someone who's unswerved from their deliberate purpose that God has put in them. So when we're seated with him in heavenly places and we have that position that produces a place of balance, meaning we don't have to stumble around in our mess to try to find our way. We don't have to stumble around in the chaos. He makes the path plain. He makes it clear. Psalm 119:105 says, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. There's no stumbling around in the dark. It's a lit way. We can walk in it. And his word is what produces that balance that keeps us from tottering around in confusion. I'm going to turn real quick to Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18. There's so many scriptures about peace in the Word of God. Verse 17 says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When we take that stand on the word and trust his promises, it will reveal peace. In John, it says that we'll have tribulation. And tribulation is pressure, it's affliction, it's anguish, it's burden, persecution, trouble. but he has overcome the world, and we are seated with him. So that's our position when those things come around. There's a beautiful exchange when we bring all our mess and our chaos and our stress and our fear and our anxiety, our afflictions, our doubt, our sicknesses, our diseases. When we look to Jesus to be the truth for us, the one who produces faith in us by his Holy Spirit, then he seats us in those heavenly places with him in a place where he's already overcome the world. And that leads us to Romans 5, 1 through 5. Let me get there real quick. Sorry, I didn't mark that one. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is where we stand during trials and tribulations and troubles. No matter what we face, you know, read the end of the book, we win. And look what tribulation produces in our life. If you go on to verse 3, it says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us." So when we face tribulations, it just grows us even more in Christ. It grows us in our faith. It grows us to have perseverance and long-suffering, and which produces that God character in us and that God nature in us. Gives us awesome opportunities to show the nature of our Father. And the key is just to stand in faith in that exchange with him, so that the Holy Spirit can produce that peace in us. Standing on the word, poised in peace, and others can see and discern that. Have you ever been around somebody who is just at peace? It causes other people around them to be at peace. And just the opposite, when you're around somebody who doesn't, who, you know, they have constant turmoil and they focus on those kind of things in their life, and a lot of times you call them a drama queen or whatever it will be, and they, you know, just being around them, your spirit discerns that, and it can wear you out just being around those types of people that they're in constant turmoil and something, you know, they never find peace in their lives, and it drains you. They don't even have to pour out on, you know, their stuff out on you, that it just drains you being in their presence. But when you're in the presence of somebody who has peace in their lives and walks in that peace, it just automatically brings you at peace. And you can have that effect on others around you. Everywhere you step your foot is the kingdom of God. And when you're walking in the kingdom, you're walking in peace, and you can affect those around you that don't have that peace, and you can bring them into your bubble, your circle, where they can find peace. And a lot of times you'll have people say, "Wow, you know," they walk in your house and they're like, "It's just so peaceful here. You know, it's just so peaceful." And you know, if you're at work in your office, it's just so peaceful in your office. Why is that? Why do you have peace in here? And out here, it's all, ugh. You know, they don't know, you know, a lot of times, but they know. They know there's a difference when they get into your presence. I've experienced that a lot. I just recently started a business where, believe it or not, I talk for 2 hours at a time. But I do sales, and I do a Facebook Live sale, and I sell paparazzi jewelry, and the people that don't know me, who just happen to find my video, and they'll hop on, and they'll message me afterward, and they'll just say, it was just so pleasant to watch you. It was just so pleasant to be, I just really appreciate, I've watched a lot of people, and it was just so nice and pleasant the way that you presented yourself and this and that. And I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because it does, it produces. And I really liked what you had to say, you know, earlier in your workshop about, you know, the Holy Spirit drawing people into your business. Because I hadn't really, I've seen some fruit in my business as far as establishing relationships with customers and bringing them into, you know, my world. And, you know, I have people who will, they'll just message me and be like, you know, you were talking about your kids. What do I do for my kids? You know, and I'm like, okay, we'll do this. It's really quite funny. And I don't, you know, they know who I am, and I don't shy away from the fact that Dean and I pastor church, and, you know, I even have a Muslim woman who shops with me and who's gotten very active in my group. So that's been an interesting thing. So I'm she's my next little project. But if it wasn't for the peace that God has given me and the way that He has taught me to present myself and His kingdom, none of that would be possible. Just the fact that I laugh because there's this one of the ladies here at the church, her elderly mother, who is like, yeah, somewhere around 80 or somewhere around there, she told her, she said, doesn't she ever get tired of talking? And I said, oh man, if she didn't know me 10 years ago, she would be like, wow, she talks. So, but it's allowing God to work in you and through you. And I take all my confidence in Him, because I'm like, God, you know, I wasn't one of those people that was puffed up and He had to bring down here. I was one of the people that were down here and He had to bring them up here and say, no, you can do this. Because, you know, I do it afraid every single time. You know, Dean, he has to gently nudge me because he's my husband. He has to go home with me. But, you know, he gently nudges me to you know, take the pulpit and to, you know, I want you to teach today. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. I'm not doing that. But it's, I have to take a step back from myself and say, this isn't me. This is what God wants to do. So all I have to do is just allow Him to do it. And it brings you into that place of peace where you're like, all right, not me. It's all you, God, and the pressure's on you, not me. Let's go for a second to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 26. And these are some things that are opposite of peace. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. I'm going to stop right there at verse 26, because a lot of times we get we get stuck in a comparison mode. Well, I'm not as anointed as Evelyn. I'm not as anointed as Dee. I can't get up there and do that, and I can't do this, and I'm not like them, and I'm like this. And you get stuck in a place where it's like you're constantly comparing yourself to somebody else, and you'll never live up to that. Because I wasn't created to be Evelyn. I wasn't created to be Dee. I was created to be Becky. And when I'm walking in what God created me to be, that's where I find peace. That's where I can walk in the balance and the poise. It's not comparing myself to anybody else or to say, well, I can't do that as good as them, or I can't do that, you know, because it's not about what my gift looks like. It's about letting God work through it. And God works through our personalities and, you know, our giftings. If we all looked alike and acted alike and had the same personalities, it would be quite boring. But verses 22 through 26, these are the things that keep us walking in the Spirit. When we're at that place, that's where we're standing, poised in peace. That's when we're allowing the fruit of the Spirit to flow through us. It brings stability and balance in our lives. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that's the scripture that tells us Jesus isn't like the world, and his peace isn't like the world. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Allow his peace to come. His peace is the peace that surpasses all understanding, and it works in a way in our lives that we can understand, because it says it surpasses all understanding. So it's not about understanding peace, it's just about allowing it to happen and work through his Spirit. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 7 through 9, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. So when we're having days where the enemy's trying to throw all of that junk at us, the stress, the worry, whatever it can be, that's where we take those thoughts captive and we meditate on these things. And that's his kingdom, you know, things that are lovely, that are good report, they're praiseworthy. We have to have an attitude of gratitude to be able to walk in a place where we're balanced and at peace. Do like Jesus did. The things that you learned, received, heard, and saw in me, do it, and the God of peace will be with you. Peace will be with you. Paul, who wrote the book of Philippians, he was following Jesus. And he told, you know, the people that followed him, follow me as I follow Christ. So when we do the things that Jesus that Jesus did, when we look at his life in the Gospels and we walk in that kind of character and that kind of the Father's nature, that's when his Spirit manifests itself in us. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16, it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord Jesus." See, when we get our attitudes right, we get peace in our lives. We walk in a new way, and we walk with poise. Verse 16, it's I thought that was an interesting verse. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, which are biblical lyrics, hymns, which are songs about God, and spiritual songs. And this is when you're singing in the Spirit and you know, just following the Holy Spirit in whatever comes out. Just like when you're praying in tongues, you can sing in the Spirit. And if you've ever been in an environment like if you're in a church that sings in tongues, the atmosphere changes when that happens. It really changes, and God just ushers in, the Holy Spirit just ushers in that peace, and the whole atmosphere changes. And it does the same when we're in our, you know, God doesn't care if there's 1,000 of us or one of us, if we're doing what his word says, which is singing with grace, spiritual songs, and in our hearts to the Lord, then he's going to come and he's going to change the atmosphere there. Amen. Spiritual songs are songs that rise up from our spirits in worship to the Lord. And I believe it's one of the keys to letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. All these scriptures are telling us, you know, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, keeping our hearts tender before the Lord, letting him have his way, forgiveness, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. That is such a huge key to peace. Forgiving ourselves, because we've all done things that, you know, we wish we wouldn't have, but we have to take our confidence in God and know that, you know, he's already forgiven us. We're not bigger than he is, so we should never hold ourselves in unforgiveness. We shouldn't hold each other in unforgiveness. There's not one thing that we can't bring before his cross and let him take care of. So many of the letters of Paul open with "grace and peace be with you." And grace is the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to exercise of the Christian virtues. So he gives us this grace to grow in faith and peace and all of the fruits of the Spirit. And these are the things that we're to pursue. We cannot expect our carnal nature to manifest peace in our lives. It takes Jesus. It takes the Holy Spirit and his word working together in our lives, us standing on the word and allowing the Holy Spirit to move and it brings that cohesion of peace and poise. It takes a conscious decision to meditate on the things that are good and lovely. Our carnal nature, our flesh does not want to do that automatically. It says, hey, I got better things to do. There's more enjoyable things to do. But it takes a discipline and a conscious decision. I'm going to follow Holy Spirit today. I'm going to take this scripture and I'm going to think about it and I'm going to meditate on it today and I'm going to keep it in the forefront of my mind. Amen. Rehearsing victories, that is a huge thing. To look, especially when the enemy tries to throw all those things at us, we look back at the victories that God has brought us through. Look what God brought me through. He delivered me from drugs. He Within 6 months of being saved, I was married to an awesome man of God. Look what God did for me. Did he just take me that far to drop me? No way. No way. So rehearse those victories. Rehearse, go back when you're, you know, when everything within you says this isn't working, you have to go back and look at those things that God has already done and keep those in your mind and write them down, journal them. Keep those things and rehearse those victories in your mind.